Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal way back from the beginning. The trusted source for the news. 7th at Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 7th at Hallis in your ears, you. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal.
What is going on, people? Welcome back to another edition of 7th at Hallis. This is episode 271, man. It's your boy Scott here with the homie JR Bang filling in for Flows. He's starting a new school year tomorrow, so the last thing he wants to do is record. So yeah, we here. It took us a minute because I was stuck in traffic trying to get back from Soldier Field, and then also I forgot I ain't recorded in like a month. It's been a minute since I recorded, so I had to like dust shit off. I need the lighting right in here, which I'm still not 100% liking the light right now. I think one of these lights is finna go out. I'm about to buy me one of them big studio lights and put it in this motherfucker.
Hey, I got it. Hey, you was talking shit about me. Look at me.
Yeah, I got like a table, like, you know, one of them table lights. I got an actual light. I got two long lights, but I gotta get one of them studio lights so it can be a little more bright in here, man. But I'm back in the booth this week. I will be recording two episodes of the Scott Lewis podcast this week, or at least one. I don't know, but I'm dropping two. I'm dropping one I recorded about a month ago, and then I'm trying to work on another one. Just gotta get a couple people on there. But I'm also gonna be doing an episode of Scott Reacts. We're gonna go over the NBA schedule that dropped for the opening night, which is on NBC, and then the Christmas joint. So, but yeah, that's not what y'all here to talk about. But we here to talk about the Chicago Bears' first preseason game. Man, 24-24 was the final score today. So we're gonna go over all of that, and you know, give our thoughts on all of that that's been going on, man. So let's talk about things that we liked and we didn't like. Bang, I'm gonna give you the floor. I'm pretty sure if y'all follow us, you saw my 7-minute recap video that I did on the field. What did you like? What you didn't like? What you saw today?
Red zone defense, which has been a highlight for the Bears. One of the few highlights over the last couple of years, their red zone defense, and Austin Booker. When you add the fact that Austin Booker, what is it? I believe he had three sacks today, six tackles, a forced fumble towards the in the red zone to put the Bears back in the red zone. To me, those were the things that I liked the most. I mean, even though that is a part of the defense that's been winning for us, and we would probably have a better defensive ranking if we were not always in that situation, that to see that with some changes on the defense, Noah Sewell played great as well today. You heard Ruben Hippolyte name a couple of times, but it looks like Sewell is going to be the first linebacker off the bench for the Bears. You see the defensive backfield. You see the battles that's going on there with Wright and Terrell Smith. So I love that the defense was fighting preseason, no preseason. The defensive line looks solid for preseason's sake right now. Those are the things that I like in game one of the preseason.
Things that I liked. I liked I like Noah Sewell. I really love what I saw from Noah Sewell. You know, this team did not bring back Jack Sanborn. So looking for the number three linebacker. I think he's putting together a nice shot to try to become that number three linebacker. So I liked what he did. I liked what I saw from Eric Monge. I think that's how you pronounce my man's name. I like what I saw from him. He's a violent runner. You know, I saw some people out there comparing him to Isaiah Pacheco. I don't want to go that far. But I did like what I saw from him. He didn't quit. And I honestly liked what I saw mostly from the two quarterbacks, Tyson Bagent and Case Keenum. Let's talk about things that we didn't like. One thing I didn't like was the rough start. Did not like the rough start. Got to get the better starts. You know, that's something that we're going to need to do. This is a team that's notorious for starting off slow, no matter what the coach, I kind of feel like. So that's something I didn't like. That last drive with Austin Reed, like some y'all, like some of the throws weren't as bad. A lot of the worst parts about it was the receivers not catching the ball, I think was the worst part. But it's not too much I didn't really like today. I think that would probably be the most. I'm trying to see what else I didn't like. I think that was it. Bang, was there anything that you didn't like that you saw today?
A slow start. Same with you. I do not like the fact that this team is still, I mean, it's one preseason game, but starting off slow. I did not like the red zone offense for the Bears as well. Beginning of the game, they had a couple opportunities that they didn't necessarily capitalize on. I want to go back to what I did like compared to what I didn't like. I love the fact that Ian Wheeler was out there. You know, he tore his ACL last year. And he was a highlight from Hard Knocks. To see him, it was a touchdown that he ran that they called back. I believe it was a holding call. That he looks to be somebody that people have hope for. But what I did not like in the beginning because of that slow start is it looked like the offensive line couldn't create a hole for the running backs. And by that, it couldn't help out Bagent in play action and things of that nature. So I think as the game went on, they were able to get the running game going, but just starting off slow. I didn't necessarily like that.
One thing I did too like is Cairo randomly taking steroids. It's nice to see. Cairo making long field goals is what I liked. One thing I didn't know, actually, somebody tweeted this that I forgot who tweeted it in the Bears beat, but I did not know he set a Bears record for the most 50 plus yard field goals made in the season last year. Because it damn sure didn't feel like it. So I definitely didn't know that, but both kickers made long kicks. Cairo had a 57-yarder. The Miami kicker had a 56-yarder as well. Man, I'm going over some of the stats. Tyson Bagent, he played the entire first half. He went 13-19, 103 yards passing, one touchdown, one interception. Case Keenum played third quarter and some of the fourth quarter. He went 8-10. 80 yards passing with two touchdowns, and then Austin Reed came in the last couple of drives. He went 5-10, 41 yards passing. Kyle Mungai, he led the carries with – no, not carries, but yards. Six carries, 30 yards. Deion Haskins and Ian Wheeler each had seven carries, each for 23 and 20 yards respectively. Jahdae Walker, he had the best game out of the wide receivers – who played today, three catches, 41 yards, and one touchdown. But I really liked what I saw from Luther Burden. Luther Burden is somebody who was not around during the summer because of the hamstring injury that he had got literally the first day of rookie minicamp. So we didn't see him throughout the remainder of rookie minicamp and OTAs, mini mandatory camp, any of that. And even the first week of camp he missed. So to see how he's picked up so far, I mean, so much so early, you know, not so early, but how much he's picked up since he's actually been around the team has been great to watch for Luther. And Colston Loveland, he wasn't out there too long. I think he's only out there for like a series or two. That shows you how important he is for this offense. He had one catch, 8 yards as well. And then the defense, you talk about Austin Booker. Austin Booker had three sacks. Could have had four. Probably could have had four or five out there. He didn't wrap up on two of them, but it's nice to see what Austin was doing, man. But since we didn't get a season debuts from the starters on both sides, in fact, Tyrique Stevenson was the only starter to play on the defensive side of the ball. And a lot of fans in the 79th house mentioned thought that was like punishment because of the fighting that he got into in the joint practice on Friday. I didn't think that was the case. And then Ben Johnson confirmed that that was not the case in his post-game press conference. His job is very much up for grabs. It would be have to be, if we're looking at the battle right now, it would be him and the backup corner. I'm trying to look for this nigga's name right now. Nashawn Wright. Yeah, Nashawn Wright.
Nashawn Wright.
He's been having a really good camp. So, you know, Ben said that is an actual battle right there. So that's a battle for him as well. So we'll get into the battles at first. I mean, not first, but in a minute. But I also want to talk about now Ben Johnson, his unofficial, official first game as the Chicago Bears head coach. One thing that, you know, I don't want to criticize my peers, but we got to stop asking Ben Johnson, well, what'd you say on the sidelines? You seem kind of fiery. That's the personality that the nigga has. He's a fiery person, all right? Like, he done been this coach for 8 months. We done seen him coaching since April or whenever the first OTAs was. Let's stop getting excited because we see somebody showing emotion for the first time since, what, Mike Ditka? Okay, like, who cares? All right, so let's stop asking them that shit. And I even think Ben is tired of the media asking that. And oh, one more thing. I know this is kind of off topic, but while we're on the topic of media, Miami media, y'all got to stop acting so damn soft over the hitting that took place in Friday's joint practice. I saw a couple Miami beat people, I won't name names, saying, well, those couple Bears players should have been kicked out. This practice, y'all should supposed to be hitting. This is a practice that was treated like a preseason game that both of the coaches sat down and coordinated, Ben Johnson and Mike McDaniel. In fact, both teams were hitting. I didn't see anybody complaining. In fact, I didn't see Mike McDaniel or Ben Johnson the day of or after say, oh, well, you know, it was a little bit too physical. We didn't need to get this. I don't know what y'all do in Miami outside of a sniff coke. But this is football, bro. Like, enough. Like, be a man. All right. Like, I don't know. And I saw some of y'all out here talking shit about the city's attractions. Relax. If you live anywhere in Florida, you should not be talking shit about Chicago. You're one hurricane from getting up out of here. But I digress. Anyway, that's how I'm trying. We're back on the show, man. That's one thing that pissed me off. But anyway, back to what I was saying about Ben. Play calling. Granted, it's preseason. I don't really care too much about preseason. Y'all know I'm very vocal on that. But, Bang, what did you see from Ben Johnson's play calling? Because Bears, I know it sounds funny, but the Bears put up 24 points. Like, and preseason or not, anytime the Bears put up 24 points, I'm like, huh? What did you think about Ben's play calling then?
It's a little too early for me to talk about play calling, because it's Tyson Bajan and Case Keenum and future quarterbacks coach Austin Reed.
He's gonna be coaching with JJ McCarthy.
Yeah, he's gonna be.
He'll have a Austin longer Reed's, career.
Yeah, no, Austin Reed is gonna be somebody's quarterbacks coach in the NFL. In a couple of years, like, I forgot my man's name, but played with the Texans. But now he's like a quarterback's coach right now. I forgot my man's name. With that being said, no, it's hard for me to say that. What I will say, however, though, I like some of the setups. I like seeing jumbo packages, pause. I like seeing two tight end setups, pause. I did like seeing that because even with the handful of plays that Coast and Loveland played, I understand. Like, it was just some of the positions that some of the players were put in, I get it, and I totally understand it, and look to actually see more when Caleb is in there. But seeing some of the packages, it made me interested to see how Coast and Cole Kmet gonna look together. It made me interested to see how Caleb is going to look under the center. And they was talking about that during the game in that now with that 90-minute session. You was talking about that Caleb. It was a lot of Caleb underneath center and everything, and how he says he feels comfortable under the center. So I think next game against Buffalo, I think it would be an easy answer, but I do like some of the packages that I've seen and with some of the players that we do have. It's very interesting to see how those things work out. But you was there. Like, what about you?
I mean, like I said, it's preseason. I've been very vocal on preseason for the last week. with both footballs that I watch. So I've been very vocal on that. But I will say, from what I saw from Ben, it was good play calls. I mean, that's just what Ben Johnson does. That's not something that Caleb or no Caleb that I was trying to figure out. What I'm going to be looking for him when the season starts is how he's going to be a head coach. I think the play calling is his bag. He knows how to do that. That's just who Ben Johnson is. You know, I know a lot of people say, I think a lot of people took what I said Friday after the joint practice. And by the way, I hate that video. And the reason I hate that video, I look like melted ice cream because I was so hot and tired after I shot that video. But anyway, a lot of people took what I said as patience, as in saying the offense isn't going to work. No, I meant it's patience, as it's going to take Caleb and everybody else a while to catch up to what Ben is trying to do. The actual play calls, Ben knows, like the back of his hand. So what I saw from the play call, I liked, because that's just what Ben Johnson does. From the moment that he became the offensive coordinator in Detroit, when they were, 0-8 or something like that, and they finished the rest of the season top five. That's just what Ben does. So I'll be looking throughout the season of things that how does he manage timeouts? You know, what is he doing as a head coach? Because it's different from being a play caller and a head coach. What's he going to do? That's what I'm going to look for. Play call, I like what I saw. It's like when you buy a car and, you know, they say, oh, it's got good mileage. It was as advertised that Ben Johnson is a play caller. And, you know, you said it didn't have Caleb in there. I thought it was even more impressive because it wasn't Caleb. That's what I liked about it more, because it wasn't Caleb. And even the plays that didn't work, you saw the vision of the plays. And one thing that stood out to me more than anything, how many times did we call screen plays last year that just didn't make sense? I'm not even talking about success rate. That just didn't make sense. Screens today, they made sense. But Ben's play call was great. But what I really liked, Dennis Allen, you psycho. The blitzes I saw, I've been waiting for blitzes for Bears defense for years, probably since Vic Fangio was here. Like, it's been a while. So I think they did like an engage 8 on like 4th and 5 in a preseason game. And I was like, that's what I wanted to see. So that's what I liked from both sides of the ball over there. And, you know, it's good to see emotion from a head coach. It's good to have a head coach that he doesn't, as a media member, and I know as fans too, it's refreshing that he gives you answers. Like with Luther Burden's injury a couple weeks ago, if this was Flus or Nagy, we would have never known what would have happened. Like, he's very transparent with the media and the fans, which is what I like. He's not going to sugarcoat it. During Family Fest last week, he was like, yo, this shit ain't good enough. He's like, if we play like this, then we not going to win a lot of football games. And that's Family Fest. And, you know, one thing I also like on Friday, which had me dying laughing, Friday, it was a packed house in the media room for the joint practice. He's like, feels like game day, and he's hitting the podium. I'm like, this guy likes football. So if anything, this game, and not just this game, but all of since April, since off-season training, this is a grown staff. Now, whether the players still got to go out there and do what they got to do, but the staff is official. They're all doing their jobs. And Antoine Randall, not just a wide receiver coach. Assistant head coach. And you really see that as well. Like, he really – this is not somebody where, you know, he's just acting as wide receiver coach. No, he acts like an assistant head coach. So that's what I like to see, from the entire – coaching staff. Let's talk about stars of the game. In the words of who's that Eddie Murphy dated in Boomerang? It was Lola Rochon. Like, yeah, not when he was on that date with Lola Rochon. He said gold star for Marcus. the stars of the game for me, I'm gonna have to give to Austin Booker. I'm gonna have to give I got his name right here, the wide receiver. Let me scroll this up.
So Jadae Walker?
Yeah, that's the name, Jadae Walker, those are the guys, and Luther Burden, big third and 15. Those guys, to me, were the stars of the game today. But who would you point out as your star? Any different than who I got?
Nah, Austin, Austin Booker, of course, you get 3 sacks in any game. I don't care if it's preseason or not. That's impressive. Also, with those 3 sacks, he had 6 total tackles, 4 solo, 3 sacks, 3 tackles for loss as well. Hit the quarterback 4 times. So, like you said, he had 3 and he should have had 4. So he's somebody that I will put there. Ruben Hippolyte as well, too, and Noah Sewell. I think both of them showed promise in their roles. Ruben Hippolyte with 6 tackles, 5 solo, and he's fast. He closes in quick. Noah Sewell, and what he did leading in the first red zone defense. Defensive stand that they had in the beginning of the game. Those are the 2 on the defensive side that I would give stars to. On the offensive side of the ball, the running backs. I mean, once the rhythm was there, you start to see them move. Kyle Monagai looks like he has potential to look like a steal. Not saying he will, but the way we look at the running back position, he has potential to look like that. Ian Wheeler, for no reasons that this man tore his ACL last year, and the Bears was like, nah, you ain't going nowhere. To see him in his first game back, do some of the things he was doing while he was you know, just a little bit under 3 average. That touchdown that they end up calling back, I loved it. He should have been stopped in the backfield. He bounced off of it and ran for, I think it was maybe like a 14, 15-yard run that ended up getting called back. But I love what I saw from him. Love what I saw from Monagai once the offensive line got comfortable. So those would be my 2 on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I think the thing about Monagai too, and not just Monagai, but Wheeler as well, there's a real opportunity here for the running back 2 position. And I say that because of Roschon Johnson's injury. Roschon is, you know, he's dealt with injuries since he's been drafted. And this is another thing that you're going to have to, not worry about, but, you know, look at a little bit more. I also have to say there were some other injuries that we got to monitor that didn't happen this game. Kyler Gordon has a hamstring. He left Thursday practice, did not practice on Friday, obviously didn't play today. That's something I will monitor. And there was another growing injury that happened today. I don't remember. But, yeah, it's a lot of nicks, you know, a lot of them annoying injuries that are picking up. But, yeah, I thought it was a good day for the running backs. Noah Sewell, really, really great production as well, man. Let's talk about the upcoming preseason game. The Bears have another joint practice on Friday against the NFL MVP and the current – Hard Knock stars, the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills, will be coming to Halas Hall on Friday. This is the first time since I've been covering the team where it's been 2 joint practices, and I just want to thank these teams or the NFL, whoever booked it, these joint practices are in Chicago, because I was not going to Buffalo, New York, for a joint practice. But I really want to know what the plan is going to be this week. Like, you know, on Friday, when we asked after that, you said Caleb and the starters weren't going to play. Really, none of the starters played. Defense, I thought it was just an offensive thing. None of the main guys played outside of Tyree Stevenson. What the plan is going to be. And this was something that Ben said on Friday that, you know, it's to be determined. And then today he said he's going to talk with his staff. But one thing that Ben said, it's obvious that Ben Johnson has a plan. I know a lot of people were upset about them not playing. And, you know, some people care about preseason more than others. I'm not saying, you know, you're wrong for that. I think we all have our different opinions on preseason. I personally think preseason is if you play, cool. If you don't play, whatever. I don't think it's a make or break thing, especially with these joint practices, because of the intensity. Obviously, they're not live bullets. Like, you know, you can't actually sack a quarterback in joint practice like you can in an actual game. I get that, but it's still good reps. And then today, Caleb was out there with the starters for 90 minutes running different routes and just, you know, having a full practice with the offense. And that was something that Ben talked about in his press conference. He said that they got over 70 reps in that hour and a half. And he feels like even though those aren't live bullets, that's something that's very, come in handy for what he's trying to do. So I don't believe this is just something where it's like Matt Nagy was just like, oh, I'm not doing preseason because I don't want the players to get injured, which I never think that's a good excuse either, especially because this is a contact sport. And not only is it a contact sport, but, these guys could go down first play of the game, week one. So that's just kind of where I'm at with that as well. But I feel like there's a plan here. My personal opinion, have nobody telling me this, Ben didn't allude to this. I do believe the starters will play next week. I feel like next week is probably going to be like a dress rehearsal game because they're going to have a joint practice, and then it's a night game next week. Next week is a night game against Buffalo. And then, of course, you got less than a week. You got like 5 days later, they play Kansas City. Nobody's going to play that game. That's my personal opinion. Maybe Ben says whatever. But I also feel like if you feel that, any reps, no matter if they're going to be going against people who are going to be working for Home Depot in about 4 weeks, if that's what you feel, cool. I'm not going to say anybody's wrong about that. I personally don't feel like that's going to make or break a season or anything like that. Last year, the Bears played preseason last year. They played 2 out of the 3 games, and they did not look good. Not only the first month, they didn't look good the entire year. 2018, the last time this team won a division, didn't play an ounce of preseason. The 0-16 Lions went undefeated in the preseason. That's what I'm saying. Like, yes, it can help, but I don't ever feel like it's a determining factor for a season. And I just feel like it's kind of it's one of many things that fans debate about that I just personally don't think there's a point of. But Bang, what's your opinion on how Ben has used preseason this first week? Do you think they're going to play next week? And do you think he actually has a method to the madness?
His method seems similar to what they've done in Detroit. That's what he wants to do coming in. That's fine. Excuse me. I do believe this Buffalo game should be a dress rehearsal. I do believe that we should see these starters for at least a quarter. And I do think live gang reps are important. Live gang reps. I know that the way he might practice his team during training camp may go, and I'm not going to question his thinking there, but I do think live game reps in front of people, in front of stands, is helpful. I think what kind of irritates fans is when you see Tua out there for a series and you don't see Caleb. And I also believe that the fans put the pressure on themselves and wanting to make sure that the person that they have at quarterback, that Bears have at quarterback, is the right person for the job. So you want to see him get as much experience, especially when this is a new head coach, this is a new system, he needs to learn it. Even though you're doing a 90-minute session, it's nothing like game day. But I think for me, I know for me, in order for this to make me feel comfortable, I have to see it in the game setting. And what better way of doing that by going against a team that's one of the favorites to go to the Super Bowl?
So here's my question of you. So let's just say they play today. And they play next week, and they still start off shitty the first month. You think that's still a your opinion?
It's not a preseason. No, it's not going to change because we've seen teams go undefeated and shit the bed, and we've seen teams that do not go undefeated, who lose all of their games, and they end up in the playoffs. My thing is just game reps help. They're not at the end all be all, they help. And I'm just under the thinking that you don't help out your quarterback by sitting them down, no matter what the situation is. You give them those reps. And the thing is with Caleb, along with those reps, you're dealing with a Luther Burden that's new. You're dealing with a Coastal Loveland that is new. You're looking at making sure that your relationships with DJ Moore and Rome, you know, making sure that y'all are in rhythm during the game. Not practice, during the game. I'm not going to say, though, like, I'm not going to jump out the box and be like, ah, no, I ain't going to do that. But I do think that reps help. No matter how many reps they are, they help you. So I would have loved to see Caleb and the starters out there for at least a series and a half. Not saying the full first half, but like two series and then call it a day.
That's fair. Let's talk about another battle that fans and I think everybody is really interested in. That's the left tackle battle right now. It's a three-way battle confirmed by Ben Johnson between Braxton Jones, who was starter last couple seasons, rookie Ozzie Trapillo, and Yale folks, Kyron Amagaji. Hinsdale folks, whatever you want to call them. I think today proved to me, in my opinion, I've been telling everybody that I thought that Braxton Jones was going to start just because of the way that Ben Johnson talked about him. And just, you know, there hasn't been anybody who's really had an edge as far as like starts with the ones. I do believe Ozzie's looked way better than Braxton. And today was another example. Braxton was out there getting his ass whooped. Like, to me, this is Ozzie's job to lose. I know that Kyron is part of it, but I've never really even looked at him as a serious threat to take this job. To me, it's always been between Ozzie and Braxton. And Ozzie's 6'8", bro. Like, he's a big guy. He's a rookie. I think that Braxton Jones is bad. I don't think Braxton Jones is bad. I just don't think he's a starter. Braxton Jones, to me, is a good depth left tackle. Like, if your left tackle goes down, he's a good bench guy. He's not a starting left tackle. And I think the Bears know he's not a starting left tackle. And that's why they drafted
let me ask you a question. When you look out on that field, this is more, I mean, backups are in the game. But you kind of get an idea. What is your outlook? And I mean, of course, you're at practice too. Like, outside of just the left tackle, I'm talking about the entire line. What has been your thoughts? And now when you look at them with live game reps, did that change your opinion before today? Like, did it change the opinion that you may have had before today?
There wasn't any starters today, but I will say I had some concerns in camp, not because of the blocking. I don't think the blocking has been bad at all. I think the blocking has actually been loads better than it's been last year. I mean, oh my God. The sacks that have happened in camp is because Caleb had the same issues that he had and that's holding on to the fucking ball too long. But the biggest issues to me with the offensive line has been false starts and botched snaps, which has been a big issue in camp. That was not an issue today. Now, granted, it wasn't the starting offensive line, so that is still to be determined, but that to me was my biggest question mark. And today I thought outside of Braxton, it looked pretty solid. So it was also Ryan Bates was out there. And this is another thing about depth. Ryan Bates is fine when he's your backup center. The Bears was allowing him to be a starter last year, and that's what the issue was. He shows you that he's good depth, a good depth piece. So, yeah, I want to see the starting offensive line and see if my worries of the botched snaps and the false starts and the stuff like that, offsides, holding, stuff like that is going to go away. But that's what I would see. But to me, I think this is going to go to Ozzie if he continues to stay healthy and do his thing. Final topic, man, it kind of goes on with what you were just doing. Any questions that you have? We're halfway through camp right now. You know, I mess with Bang all the time. He'll put in the chat what's going on in camp, and I'll be like, check the Twitter, nigga. But it's, what if there was, what's some questions that you got about what's been going on at camp, where the team is at this point with 3 more weeks of camp and approximately 29 days till Monday Night Football against Minnesota?
My biggest questions are left tackle, where we are with that, Caleb's comfortability in the offense, and who's going to take the reins opposite of Montez Sweat. Starting with the latter, heard it during the game today about how Dennis Allen believes that there's untapped potential with Montez Sweat, which leads me to believe you're going to start to see him a bit more inside. But you can't do that unless you have a decent rotation. We didn't see, like, I don't think we saw where well, we didn't see Dio today.
No.
But we saw Austin. Yeah. Yeah, right. But we saw Austin Booker, and we also saw him last year as well start off fast. You saw Dominique Robertson, who feel like the last 2 years he's been on the last to cut list and made the team. So when you look at Dio, when you look at Austin Booker, when you look at those rotational pieces, I would love to see what that looked like, especially since you're not going to trade for Tyler Hendrickson, or you're not going to give the Dallas Cowboys what they potentially might want for Michael Parsons. You need that other side of the line to ensure that there's no double teams, because Grady Jarrett, from all accounts, y'all say, looks like a man amongst boys sometimes. When you look at the offensive side of the ball, it's easy. How Caleb doing? So really wanting to know a lot about that. And then the left tackle position, of course. Like, you have a three. Sometimes I wonder that, like, some of the quotes that they talk about with quarterbacks, you know, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. Like, you know, when they be saying, like, shit like that, I wonder, does that feel the same way as far as, like, left tackle, though? Like, left tackle is one of those.
If you're Cleveland, you have four quarterbacks, you have
none. It makes you five now when you add Snoop up in that joint. So that's my wonder. Like, are we really close to saying we have somebody as a left tackle? Do some of the whiffs that Braxton Jones had today, like, put Ozzy in that role, like, in the role, or what? Those are the questions that I have going into the Buffalo game.
Well, Ozzy, I say about Ozzy, I think Ben is doing the psych. I think Ben is doing the Phil Jackson psychological thing by not giving not just Ozzy, but any of the rookies too much love. There was a specific question today. I think it was Kevin Fishbane or Pat Finley, one or two. And they asked him about, you know, are you starting to have trust in the rookies? And he was like, you know, trust has got to be earned. He said, you know, they're doing some things, but, you know, trust has got to be earned. You know, and then at Family Fest, he said on the receiving side, the only guys he trusts are DJ Rome and Cole Kmet, which I thought was pretty interesting to me. So I feel like he's playing Jedi mind tricks with the rookies, where he doesn't want to give them too much. But I think that Ozzy Trapillo, if he finishes the next 3 weeks, like how he's been, not just only the first 3 weeks of camp, but all through mini camp, mandatory camp, and OTAs, because Braxton wasn't there because of recovering from a surgery, he's a clear left tackle to me, in my opinion. But I feel like Ben is giving Braxton a legit shot because he's a veteran, and also because he missed so much time as well. So it's up to Braxton to have good performances. Today was not a great step in the right direction for him. So I don't think it's an issue where, oh man, they got three left tackles, you have none. No, I think they know who they want the left tackle to be. They just don't want to give it to Ozzy yet. They want to continue to own it. There's a couple things I want to say about the Caleb thing and the offense in general, which I want to keep telling Bears fans. I know it sounds like a cop-out. I know Bears fans are tired of hearing about fucking patience. And honestly, the national media, who me and Bang have ranted on many times, are not doing the fan base any favors. That's why I can't even get mad at the fans. You know, usually I will take any reason to yell at Bears fans. I can't get mad at Bears fans because the way this team has been covered, not by the local team. And I know some fans have certain media personalities locally that they don't like. But from my perspective, I think everybody in the Bears media has been doing a good job of telling the truth about the situation. Even the super negative ones on the beat, who I'm not going to name, I think have been fair with their analysis. There's been days where Caleb looks been good. There's been days where Caleb didn't look good. I was not that impressed on Friday in the joint practice because I think it was former Miami Dolphin left tackle. I think it's Teron Armstead. That's his name?
Yes, Teron Armstead. Yep.
Yeah, so I think he has a podcast. And I think he was there. I didn't see him, but he was there, and he said that, you know, it feels like Caleb is still holding on to the ball. And that particular day, yes, if we were counting sacks on Friday, he got sacked four times. And it wasn't because the offensive line was bad, because he was holding on to the football. I was sitting right behind the end zone in joint practice. I had a clear view. He had two touchdowns during the red zone period. That if he just threw the ball, Rome was open, Cole was open. And it feels like this is not something – I feel like he's done better at it. I know Mikey asked me this question. He's gotten better at it for sure. I feel much better about Caleb right now than I did August 10, 2024. But there's still a lot of work to do. And I think Case Keenum said something today after this press conference that I feel like really is hammering home what I've been telling Bears fans, what a lot of other media has been telling Bears fans. This is a complicated offense. And, you know, Case said, you know, this stuff that – I'm having a hard time with. And Case has been in the league over a decade. Case has won playoff games. You know, Case is a veteran's veteran. And by the way, I think Case should be QB number two. I'll get to that in just a minute. But this is something that he's picking up. But one thing that's good about Caleb is he's picking it up. I don't feel the first practice of training camp was rough. Remember, I put that in the chat. First two practices, I'm like, I ain't gonna lie. It looked like they ain't been here all spring summer.
Yeah, you was.
And I was like, it don't look good first 2 days. It has looked so much better since then. So what I've been trying to tell fans is don't listen to the national media. Caleb Williams was disliked when he was at USC. And now he's the starting quarterback of a team that, let's just be real, with the New York Knicks of the NFL as far as coverage. You will laugh at the Knicks for anything because Knicks being the Knicks and how passionate their fan base is. It is the same thing. We're very easy to get riled up. You know what I'm saying? Even Colin Cowherd put out a tweet today doing when Bajan, oh, I think Bajan's a good backup. Like, they know how to get to the fan base. So I understand why fans are upset. I'm telling you, I'm not saying it's going to be bad the first half of the season. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's going to be a little rocky. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it could come out guns blazing. That could be a possibility. We still got a whole month to Monday Night Football, a whole month. I'm just saying the first four games of the year, my prediction is they're going to go 2-2, and I think this is going to be a slow offense. But I think by week eight, this is going to be an offense that's going to look good. And I'm going to go with what Nick Wright said. And I never agree with anything Nick Wright says most of the time. But by the end of this season, I believe this fan base is going to feel very good about where this quarterback is, where this coach is, and where this team is. And I don't, and this comes from a man who said they're not going to make playoffs. I got them 8-9, 9-8, and barely missed the playoffs because I think 10 is what's going to get you in the NFL, in the NFC. But I still think when this season's over, we're going to think, okay, this is great. But the first, I say, quarter of the season, it's going to be a little rocky. But I think by week eight, they're gonna pick up. So these next 3 weeks are going to tell me a lot, but Caleb is learning. Caleb just has to – the number one thing I would say for Caleb, he has to trust what he sees. And I think Ben said this on Friday. No, Ben said this in his interview with Hogan John. Shout out to the homie Adam Johns, my man, the program. He told Hogan John in his interview that, you know, I told Caleb that as a quarterback, it's like you're a Navy SEAL. He said, if you're entering, once you get off the ship – and you in a mission, you got a second to figure out, do I shoot or do I, you know, keep it moving? And that's what it's got to be. Caleb's got to, because he's got time to throw the ball now. This ain't like last year where it was, he hold on to the ball. He's also traumatized because there's a face in his hand every 2 seconds. No, from what it's looked like in preseason and what it's looked like in camp, the offensive line is blocking. He's getting opportunities. It's on to him. So this is, in my opinion, this is his real rookie season. Because this is not me absolving Caleb of any blame last year. I believe out of them 68 sacks he had, half of them was his fault. So I'm not absolving him of any blame, but I think we're really, really underestimating just how bad the infrastructure was around him and how now it's like when your house burns down and you're building a new house, it's not going to look like a freaking mansion in the first month of you building. So all I ask for is patience for Bears fan. The last thing I'll say, backup quarterback, I obviously didn't hear the home call. I was at the stadium, but I heard that Jim Miller was
my God.
A dick
foot. Oh, my boy. So let me say, I was on my way to Maywood with the family while watching the game, and I was trying not to look at the text messages while trying to watch the game on my phone. But I had to go in because I figured I know at least Mikey was going to be responding. Boy, I don't know if Jim Miller is the card-carrying member of the We Love Tyson, Hate Caleb group, but I also hate Case and Austin Reed too. But all that shit he was talking in the first half, he was not giving the same energy. This man said something about the room and how like Tyson Bagent answers all of the questions and all of that stuff to pass up the middle to Luther Burden. He expected Luther Burden to jump up with two hands to get it. No, that was it was nasty. It got to a point where it was like real nasty. And real quick, because I wanted to mention this as far as the offense. Last year, I felt like part of the reason why I predicted the number of games that the Bears would win, the reason why I jumped out the body the way that I did was simply because I thought that the defense would carry this offense. I do believe that this defense this year is going to carry the offense. And when they do that, it's going to give this offense time to gel. So once it happens towards the end of the season, if the defense does what we believe they can do, because the defense has been looking good, and we have the confidence in Dennis Allen and his numbers as the defensive coordinator support that, you will give this team enough chances in game. Talking about in game, because they're going to get turnovers. They're going to get the ball back. They're going to get enough reps throughout this regular season to where by the end of the season, we will know if Caleb's the guy or not. Simple as that.
I agree. I 100% agree with that. There will be, in my opinion, no question what quarterback we have by the end of this year. And that's, God forbid he gets hurt. If healthy.
Right.
Because he played all 17 games last year. If he stays healthy, in my opinion, that doesn't mean he's going to be a finished product by the end of the year. But I think we'll have our answer on either – Caleb is like Dak level. He's a really good quarterback, but you're going to need a lot around him to win. We're going to know, man, remember we talked about this when Justin was here. We're going to know by the end of this year whether Caleb is a win with guy or a win because of guy. By the end of this year, we're going to know the answer to that question. I also want to say about the defense, because I did not speak about them. I know you asked that in your question. I didn't answer it. Grady Jarrett, he's a Bear. He is a Bear. I think 50 is a wild number, but it's appropriate for him to wear because of not comparing to Mike Singletary, obviously. But he is the vocal leader on this one of the vocal leaders, because I don't want to disrespect my man KB, Kevin Byer, who basically told niggas on Friday, teach a man how to squabble when they were asking about the fights that happened in camp. I feel like that Jalen, KB, and Grady are the vocal leaders of this team. Tez is a silent leader. Tez just looks like he chill. You know what I'm saying? And I also agree with Dennis Allen. If Tez stays healthy, Dennis Allen is going to unleash the flutes. Unleash the flutes, guru. That's what's going to happen. Tez is going to have a great year. Ryan Poles, Dennis Allen are very high on Dio. He is the wild card here. Gervon, we're going to see if he's good. But the interior is something that I feel like both Ted said this and also DA said this, that they're looking forward for that for being really, really big and making things easier for the edge. On the other edge, I think that's a battle. I like Austin Booker's chances. And he even gives me pass rusher vibes. Like today, he was like in his press conference, he wasn't for no nonsense, bro. He was looking possessed. He was just like, look, I just want to go back in there and watch more film. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's ready. So I think this defense, last year, I was on the defense ass because I feel like we were letting them niggas off the hook way too many times. I still hope that they get them a pass rusher, either maybe before the year starts or maybe in the draft or free agency next year to help Tez out. But I think this is going to be a very good defense just off the scheme, and DA play old school football. So I think that's going to be something as well. And so I'm going to close with this. I feel like Case Keenum should be QB number two. Not to say that I don't think Tyson had a bad game. I think Tyson was cool. But the reason I want Case to be QB two, he's a vet, like a vet. 10 years in the league, one playoff games. You know, remember the Minnesota Miracle? He was the nigga that threw the ball. Like he is confident. And I feel like if God forbid Caleb goes down and we need somebody to start for 2 to 4 weeks, not saying if Tyson is number two, that I'm like, no, that's not it. I just feel right. Case. I'm more comfortable with Case than I am with Tyson. So that's my thought on the backup QB battle. Any word on backup QB battle, and then we gonna wrap up?
Not really. I do think that either way it go, I need Keenum to be the OG in the locker room. Simple as that. I need him to be the OG in the locker room. Don't need to be second. Don't need to be third string. I need him to be the OG while Austin Reed is the pseudo quarterbacks coach, because he will have a job in the NFL as a quarterbacks coach in the next 5 years.
Definitely, man. So that is all we've got for y'all today on this edition of 79th and Howlers. Next week is a night game, so we will not be doing a pod. We're just going to give y'all our recap video. Look out for that. But I'm, as rappers say, I'm back in the lab. I'm going to be getting back to my regular recording schedule. The summer is over for me. So this week I will be recording a couple episodes. Dropping a couple episodes of the Scott Lewis pod, and I'm dropping one episode of Scott Reacts. I'm gonna see if we can. We're gonna do summer sessions. I don't know when. We ain't done in a minute, but you know, it's people been busy.
Yeah, I got a new job on Thursdays, fam.
Got a new job on Thursdays.
We talk about that offline though.
Yeah. but Pappy's not even in the country right now. But we will figure that out for when we're gonna have that, man. But for Bang and for Scott, we gonna holler at y'all, man. We up out of here. 79th and Howlers. Shout out to y'all. We out.